Coach Oates, what is it that has attracted you to come to the University of Arkansas? Apparently, this is your only college visit.
Well, I've been contacted by quite a few other schools. This is the first one I've contacted, or that I've have visited. Whether I'm going to visit any other ones or not remain to be seen. But I think it. I like the atmosphere of everything I've heard about Arkansas. I like the weather. I also think that Coach Broyles has, you know, done a tremendous job here, and you know, would just be a tremendous opportunity for a coach to follow in the footsteps of an individual who's done a great job. But most important of all, I think it'd be a great place to raise a family.
This is Ozarks at Large. To explain what we just heard, I turn the microphone over to Randy Dixon with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History.
Well, that was Lou Holtz in 1976, who had just come to the University of Arkansas for a job interview. He was coaching at the time for the New York Jets. He was a pro football coach, but decided he wanted to settle down somewhere with his family. And the first place he came was Arkansas.
He does become the coach who follows legendary Frank Broyles.
Well, and that's right. Frank Broyles had decided to retire as coach to become or take the only role as athletic director. And he wanted to handpick his replacement. And here is Frank Broyles talking about the possibilities of choosing Lou Holtz.
I am in the process of trying to find who is available, and it's kind of like my wife when I take a shopping for a dress, head coaches are, that is, in that she may pick the first one or she may go through five stores, and you never know when it's going to fall out of the sky. Yes, this one is available and might consider the job, or he might not, and this is similar to what happened in New York. I had known that Lou wanted to leave pro football and get back into college from last summer, and I asked him was he available, and he said he did not know whether he could get me released from his contract or whether he felt an obligation to stay there, and this is what our negotiations have only gone to this extent, along with some other coaches that I've talked to.
All right, so Frank Broyles has hired Lou Holtz from the Jets to be the first coach in a couple of decades at Arkansas not named Frank Broyles.
That's right, and he came in 76 and held a news conference to announce his hiring.
I believe in God, and believe in myself and believe in Arkansas, and I've made that same comment every job I've ever gone to. It was a great experience for me with New York. Whether I could have been successful there or not, you'll have to draw your own conclusions, your own analogies. The only question that you have to ask yourself all the time is, what price am I willing to pay?
So you mentioned, he was a motivational speaker, and we've heard stories from those early players on his early teams at Arkansas that he could get them fired up, believing in themselves. And he kind of, because you're the football coach at the University of Arkansas, you become this ambassador for the state?
Yes, and he still gives speeches. I think he gets as much as $50,000 for a motivational speech, but here's one he kind of did for free.
One thing I want you to understand is I'm not going to talk about the University of Arkansas. There isn't anything that bores me more than if I am from Texas A&M and I'm sitting there with a good prospect, have the head football coach, University of Arkansas, get up and talk about what a great school Arkansas is, how nobody ought to leave this state, how everybody will fall in, what a great academic institution, what a fine football team we want to have, and things like that. I am not going to bother to talk about the University of Arkansas.
Talking with Randy Dixon from the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. We're talking about Lou Holtz. Seems like a perfect time to be talking about this, considering, we're not that far removed from an emotional win for the Razorback football team in 2021.
That's true. We had that big, big win against Texas, and people are still talking about it. But this is early on. We're going to do early on in the Holtz era. So at this point in 77, he's still talking about building the staff.
Well, it's been a little bit longer process than what I'd anticipated and what I certainly would have liked. But it's quoted in the Bible, Dave. It said Joseph died leaning on his staff, and the same thing will be said about me when I pass away. That put a great deal of emphasis on our staff. I think you have to have an outstanding group of teachers and people with great character that have a strong desire to win. And I feel fortunate that we have a staff that I believe is a cohesive unit, and we're all there for the same primary purpose, and that is to win football games and see that our athletes graduate from the University of Arkansas.
Lou Holtz, as he is becoming the coach at the University of Arkansas. We're hearing archives from the Pryor Center that have been digitized. So you get a staff, you got to get players.
That's right. So he was always, always big on recruiting. He was always on the road picking people up. And, from the record he was building, it wasn't as hard to do recruiting, but here he is in 78 talking about recruiting players.
I think the important thing is to understand this, that we have an awful lot to offer, and we're convinced that somewhere in this country there are 30 great athletes and want what we have to offer. If we're willing to rap on enough doors and not get discouraged with a few no's and not try to entice a young man to come or talk him into coming here to play, is probably the most single important item. Once you get him here on campus, I think your athletes have to do a good job. He has to look to see whether he's going to fit into the system, and we want to make sure that he's going to fit into the system. It's sort of a two-way street. It's like a marriage. If a young man comes to the University of Arkansas and can do everything for us and we can't do anything for him, then he is going to be unhappy. If he comes here and we can do everything for him and he can do nothing for us, then we're going to be a little bit unhappy in the long run. So it's sort of a marriage. Trying to find the young man that can enjoy success academically and athletically, conduct himself in the manner you want, achieve success academically in the classroom, and at the same time help us continue the tradition of Arkansas, then you have a good marriage.
And the players he inherited for his first team turned into a pretty good team.
A real good team. And he had, he had a great record here. He was one of just three coaches to lead Arkansas to six consecutive bowl appearances, including the biggest that we're about to hear, which was the upset, probably one of the biggest in history, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, because Arkansas beat number two Oklahoma, and it was quite a win, 31-6, in the 1978 Orange Bowl. When he came back, a huge crowd at Drake Field to greet him.
Casey, Arkansas Razorback fans meet you here after a great Orange Bowl victory, and it's got to be a thrill when you stepped off that plane, wasn't it?
Well, it's a great thrill. You know, naturally, I've never seen a reception like this, and it just gives you a good, warm feeling inside. But the greatest feeling I had was watching our fans down in the Orange Bowl. Now, I know we sold 50. I guess there were maybe 1,000 people that have called me or written me saying they weren't going to make the trip because we didn't have a chance to win. But those 14,000 went down there and made the front page of the Miami Herald. They started calling the Hogs at about 4 o'clock, and they didn't stop to about 4 in the morning. And it was just so much noise, so much enthusiasm. There was an air electricity when we walked out on the field. You just had the feeling that something good was going to happen.
As you've digested the victory now, does it mean even more today than it did at that moment?
No, I don't think so. Maybe not as much. I thought we might win the national championship. I felt that we deserved it, but I can understand why they picked Notre Dame as national champs. They have good facts. They have a good football team. But I can't understand why they didn't pick us. Now, I feel we're the best team in the country, but there's no way that we'll ever ascertain that, I guess.
Speaking of bowl games, the next year, we're talking the Fiesta Bowl in Arizona. Number 8, Arkansas, faced number 15, UCLA. And it ended in a tie, a 10-10 tie. And after the game, and this was immediately after game, he was standing on the field. He expressed his, disappointment, frustration with the NCAA rule allowing ties.
I think it's ridiculous that we have fans that travel about 2,000 miles in order to watch a tie. I know UCLA feels the same way. And it's a shame the NCAA doesn't do something about it because this is ridiculous.
That was immediately after Arkansas and UCLA ended in a 10-10 tie in the Fiesta Bowl. He was prescient. I mean, we don't have ties anymore.
That's true. The NCAA changed that rule, I believe it was in 96. Was it that recently?
Yeah, I mean, it was a couple, 1 or 2 years before that epic 7-overtime game Arkansas had with Mississippi and Oxford.
Yeah, that's true. So just to look at his overall record, he was 60-21-2, which is pretty impressive, right? But over 7 years, the Hogs were ranked in the top 10 four times. Jump up to 83, he had a 6-5 season. And for, I think, several reasons, Frank Broyles fired him.
As God tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 5, there's a time for everything. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Now I feel it's the appropriate time for me to resign from the University of Arkansas. There are many different ways to resign, but none of them are very easy. But hopefully this one will be done and reported in a positive manner. The reasons for my resignation are personal. I do not wish to delve into them at this time. I wish to thank the administration, the coaches, friends, and Razorback fans for 7 enjoyable years, which I'll cherish also. The people of this state are responsible for my improvement as a person, a husband, a father, and in my religious belief. My faith in God had not grown while I was here. I'm not certain I could handle this situation.
Here's the thing with high-profile, type A coaches. Over a tenure, they'll do something that angers people. Do you remember when he went on Johnny Carson and he said something to the effect, Fayetteville's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there?
Yes. And didn't he do some magic tricks or something? Yeah. He rubbed some folks the wrong way. Also, he did some political campaigning, right?
Yeah, he campaigned in North Carolina for Jesse Helms, and, you know, that was, I think, used against him by other coaches in recruiting because Jesse Helms was kind of known as someone who was racist.
That's true. And he would come off as a funny, witty fella, but he certainly had a temper.
Now, he leaves here. He goes to Minnesota for a year, then to Notre Dame.
That was his dream job. So he goes to Notre Dame, and then he won a national championship there. That was in 88, right? Yeah. And then went on to South Carolina and then on to ESPN, where for 10 years he did analysis and commentary. In 2008, he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. So there you go.
All right. Lou Holtz was the subject of this week's Pryor Center Profile. Randy Dixon is with the Dave and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral Visual History. You can see these clips and so many more by putting Pryor Center into a search engine. Randy, thank you.
Thank you very much. See you next week.